Greetings, salutations, and welcome to the Planestalkers Podcast, the show by casuals for casuals. I am your host, Will Benson, joined as always by my, doesn't he look so much healthier now that he's been post-Valentine's Day, co-host Aramis Perez. Aramis, how are you tonight, my friend?
Health is a relative term, my friend.
Yes, it's a very relative term, but it's appropriate. So yeah, we're not talking about your, what do you call it now?
I'm on the upswing.
You're on the upswing. Well, that's all we can ask for. So, but we've got a jam-packed show tonight. We might as well get right into it. Untap, upkeep, and draw. Okay, so untap, upkeep, and draw. We are back after a great week. It's good to be here, guys. But before we do anything else, we want to remind you that this episode and every episode of the Planestalkers Podcast is sponsored by Kerwin's Game Store. Kerwin's Game Store is New York State's premier source for collectible card games, tabletop games, miniatures, comic books, retro video games, and toys. With their clean, open gaming areas available to everyone at no charge, Kerwin's provides a fun and inviting atmosphere for new and experienced gamers alike. With locations in both Catskill and now on the second floor of the Poughkeepsie Galleria in New York State, Kerwin's Game Store is the best place in gaming. Don't forget, you can also get 5% off any online order when you use the promo code Planestalkers at checkout. And in addition to our sponsors, we want to take a minute and say thank you to our Planeswalker level patrons. Both Ian and Brian have been Planeswalker patrons since we started the patron program. They both support the show at the highest level, and we actually did a special stream of one of Ian's decks last week. So if you haven't seen it yet, it is on our Facebook page. You want to check it out. It was a lot of fun. We'll be doing that again next month. We'll do another stream of a deck provided by one of our Planeswalker or mana tier patrons, as well as we have invited Ian to do an online stream with us. We haven't gotten a response yet totally about a timing, but expect that in the next couple of weeks. We don't even know who he's going to play yet. But we want to thank you, both of you guys, for doing that, and we hope we're generating enough content for you guys on the Patreon to make it worth it. But, you know, with that, it is untap, and this week I actually get to untap. So again, we are untapping hashtag not sponsored, but Samuel Adams Cold Snap.
Okay,
so
it's not invisible this time.
It's not invisible this time. The invisible beer was a little scary last time, let's be honest. So down the head, damn, that's so good. And now and we might have an audience member. She might not be able to help herself. My wife is actually in the studio tonight. She's on my other computer. So yeah. She will probably take my beer at some point because she enjoys it so much. But in any event, we've got a lot to go through tonight. It's going to be a pretty jam-packed show. We're going to be talking about the World Championships, obviously. Congratulations to PVDDR. But we also want to talk about the Challenger decks. Those came out. The announcement for those came out last week as well. Then in our combat, we're going to talk about a little bit about Arena. And then go into main two is going to be dealing with Arena mainly, and then we'll end the show with discussing our drawings and all that other stuff. But we've got a pretty jam-packed show. But Aramis, how are you feeling before we get into the main? You were a little out of it last week.
I'm doing better. It was a bit of a TB ward back at the house. Everybody was sick. Little guy was sick. My wife was sick. I got sick. My mother-in-law got sick. So, everybody was down for the count last week. Still kind of dealing with it now, but it's we're getting better. So, we're just sort of hanging in there.
Well, that's good. I'm glad you're here. So that's why we weren't on the air last week. I mean, we did generate some content. I threw up an episode, bonus episode of what we're doing for the patrons, which is basically my, attempt to be like Mark Rosewater, but instead of driving to work, I talk about things on the way home from work, and I don't talk just about Magic, but about anything we want to talk about. So, that was kind of fun. We also did do the stream on Wednesday. So, I mean, there was some content we were going through. So, we covered, but we missed a lot, tons. And in fact, we probably should just get right into the main phase.
Main phase.
Okay. Welcome to main phase and welcome to this incredibly highly produced show. Oh, we're off the rails. Oh, God. All right. So, main phase. Well, obviously, we have to talk about the World Championships this past weekend. It was everything we could hope it would be in both a good and I think in a bad sense. There was a part, I think there's a part of us that all kind of wanted to see it fall on its face just a little bit.
I would have liked for it to have gone smoothly for a change, you know, just no hiccups, no weird technical glitches, no other random stupid things happening. But unfortunately, there's a lot of growing pains for them with the way they're trying to do this. But it's kind of odd because they've been running tournaments for literally decades.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know.
Yeah, I noticed there were some, you know, faux pas and screw ups. Some of it tech, some of it, you know.
Yeah, like the one thing that I noticed was when they were doing the drafts, these were pre-produced, mind you. These were pre-recorded drafts.
They drafted, I don't know where you're going with this.
They drafted in paper, and then they imported the deck list into Arena.
Right.
So with, I don't remember who it was that we were watching first.
Javier, wasn't it?
Might have been Javier Dominguez. I'm not sure exactly. But all I know is that we spent about 10 minutes watching him chew his thumbnail. And I'm sure that's just like a nervous tick thing that he does and whatever, but it's like, it's pre-produced. You're sure you can't just cut away and look at the cards, but then more so than that, the problem that I had was that when they posted the deck list from the people, from the cards they drafted, the first one they posted, they had a guy playing Sultai Midrange from last Standard season. So it had Llanowar Elves. It had, you know, all this stuff that had rotated out. And we're like, okay. And then it showed one person's deck had three Dream Trawlers, which no.
Was that PVs? No, I think PV wasn't PV running multiple dreams?
No, this not in draft.
Oh, okay. Not in draft, no.
No, in draft. It had somebody's draft deck had three Dream Trawlers. And it's like, I mean, one is already in, like, he actually legit opened one, but it's like three. Sorry. So like the quantities were off. Some of the cards were wrong. Some of the decks were wrong. And it's just like, you pre-produced this. How could you not have the correct information there? And it makes it even more ironic / embarrassing / funny because Andrea Mengucci received the game loss.
Yeah.
Because he,
on his own, this one isn't a Wizards problem, though, obviously.
Well, what happened was that when he did his deck registration and he submitted it, he mistakenly put down the Archon of Sun's Grace instead of Archon of Falling Stars.
Right.
And he didn't catch it until after the registration was done. And by then, they already had imposed the game loss. I don't have a problem with imposing a game loss to someone for misregistering a deck in a premier event. I have a problem with it being a 16-player tournament and them not having the staff to be able to say, oh, wait, hey, let's double-check this before you register. They couldn't have one extra person double-check this stuff?
Well, here's my thinking, though. I mean, deck registration is it's a big deal, as I understand it. Oh, you know, I mean, yeah, and, you know, these guys are supposed to be the pros of the pros. You know, they're supposed to be beyond this. Now, on the other hand, when you have, you know, Wizards or, you know, Hasbro or whomever was running this, I guess it's Channel Fireball, I do believe. So no, you have
not
Channel
Fireball. Huh? For this, okay. It was Wizards.
Okay, so Wizards is running this event. And you have them making such bold mistakes like putting in a deck list from last year, putting in too many, you know, I can get behind some of that, you know, giving that some of, you know, not giving it some leeway. But registering your deck, that, you know, that, the rule is in play, I do believe. The game loss is in play. A match loss. It's a game loss or a match loss?
It was a game loss. And right. I, like I said, I get it. If it was a larger tournament with like 300 players, them not being able to have someone to double check this thing is fine. But on this level, with this amount of visibility.
And in fact, it was pre-recorded.
And it was pre-recorded. And there were only 16 players. You can't tell me there wasn't enough people to have, to sort of like, you know, walk it through just to make sure there's no random hiccups like this. I mean, you know, it was probably an honest mistake because there's two Archons in the set.
Yeah, but not the Archon he talked of. The Archon he talked of was from Throne.
No, they're both in Theros.
Oh, are they really?
There's an uncommon and a rare.
Oh, okay. I thought it was okay.
No, it was just he.
Oh, he so he put down, the rare in instead
he
wrote of the
on
uncommon.
The rare instead of the uncommon.
Okay, I thought he put on the Archon from the last set. No. If he put the Archon, the rare Archon in, you know what? I hate to say it. That's a game loss. That 100%.
He didn't do it intentionally.
Of course not, but it's still.
But it's just the fact that there's no one there that can say, are you sure this is two Archon of this and not two Archon of this?
Well, I guess my question would be, why do they have to do their deck list at all? If you're going to be entering in my cards, I hand you my deck. This is my deck.
Yeah.
Why is there a this would be the case I can make. Why is there a deck list?
Yeah, especially since they're importing all this information into Arena.
Like somebody's got to sit there and actually data enter this. You could have handed it to 16 different chumps who'd go and say, okay, here's a draft deck.
Yeah. And they, you know, like, or when you go to hand off the information, that's when they double check. And then before they import it, there's obviously a step there for them to say, okay, here's my deck. The person who's going to, you know, the lackey who's going to import it says, okay, let's just go through this real quick, make sure this is accurate before I put it in. I said, oh, you have down this. Do you mean this? Like, oh, crap. Yes, I do.
Yeah.
You know, it shouldn't be like if it was a larger tournament. Like I said, I have zero issue with this happening. But for a 16 player pool with this level of visibility, you can't tell me there wasn't the resources there to prevent something like this from happening.
And that prevented him from top eighting, didn't it?
Oh, he lost his first match because of it. Ended up going 0-2 in draft.
Yeah.
He finished like in 14th place.
And that's the problem I have. I do agree with that. I think what they should have done is because, and especially because you're doing this half-assed, you know, half draft, half paper, half arena draft, you could have easily gone ahead and just flat out given the deck and said, I'm not registering nothing. I did my draft. It's all on camera. Here's my draft. Mm-hmm. You know, like that would have been the smarter play, maybe.
Yeah. And it really puts the argument behind also too, where they should have been thinking about this a few months in advance and put in the extra resources to be able to do the pod draft on Arena.
Yeah.
That would have completely eliminated that possibility of that happening.
Right. And I do agree with that. And I think really what happens here is that, you know, they're just not ready for pod drafting. They should have just done paper all the way around. Yeah. For that.
And then at that point, if he had done the deck registration thing, I would have been like, okay, fine.
Yeah.
Because it's just him, you know, bringing forward a form and that's the end of it. But he had to hand it to someone before it got registered in Arena. So there was an extra step there. So that step could have been an opportunity for someone to double check just to prevent an embarrassing situation like this. I feel bad for Andrea. I feel like it really cost him. I mean, who knows if he would have won the tournament, but it definitely would have cost him at least a few thousand dollars.
Yeah.
Yeah, mistakes happen, and these guys are pros, and it shouldn't happen like that. You know, golfers have to sign their scorecards and everything else, but it's like you don't shoot your round of golf, hand in your scorecard, and then replay the game on Arena. You know, online on like a golf simulator.
I guess I get it. I can see your point. I'm okay with the punishment because of what happened and because they have a rule in place.
Yeah.
You know, but I definitely, you know. It's a sad thing. It was sad to see it happen. Andrea was a really good competitor. Well, who did you choose, by the way? Who was your champion for this?
Andrea Mengucci.
Oh, that's why you're so.
No, actually, bad. It's blowing up a lot. It was blowing up a lot on Twitter and Reddit, where people were like, "He got a game loss for this? Are you kidding me?"
Yeah, but that's people. Here's the thing. I think some of that too is people that don't understand this game. Don't forget how many new people are playing from Arena. How many are
people, a lot of these people were other pros.
Okay.
Saying that this shouldn't have happened because of, again, just for, if no other reason, the pool of players, and because they had to hand off the registration before the decks got input into Arena. There should have been a step in place. If you want this to be like a warning is fine. You know, say, hey, check this out. Make sure you don't do this. I don't know. It's just it feels like a bit of a raw deal. I'm okay that they decided to stick to the rules and not make a special exception. It just feels like this is something that could have been prevented.
Well, it's not like he lost his MPL or anything.
At all. And I don't think there's going to be any other repercussions from this. And he owned up to it immediately after it happened. He's like, oops, my bad. Sorry. So, you know, it is what it is. It's just, it kind of sucks for him. And it does take away from PVDDR's impressive win.
I don't think it does at all. PVDDR,
I mean, and that just in the sense that we're spending airtime on this instead of talking about him.
Because what a win. What a win. Although, first of all, my nephew like my nephew and niece are listening and they're like, first of all, I'm famous because we're apparently because we're streaming. So hello, shout out to Billy in Brooklyn. But also none of them knew what we were talking about. And then my nephew goes, Magic. They're talking about Magic. It's Magic. So I think that's great. But yeah, PBDDR's win was I think it was all time. It was due. He was due.
Yeah.
You know, I think he had the best deck. I mean, everybody's saying the same thing about that deck right now. That is the best deck in Standard, period.
Yeah.
And he was playing against a Fires deck that I think is on its way out.
Well, he was, according to what I was hearing during the broadcast, game one was Paolo's to lose every match.
Yeah. But
after game two and three, I guess I can't even say his name anymore. Marcio's deck was favored after sideboarding.
Yeah.
The one that really hurt, though, I mean, because the way that it was set up was if...
Because they had a dual... It's a double elimination.
Double elimination. So Paolo had to just win two matches to win.
Right.
Whereas and Marcio had to win three.
He did.
Paolo won the first match.
Handily. Crushed. Like, I'm watching the whole thing going... Oh, this is going to be quick.
Yeah, he crushed him in the first match. The second match, Marcio, you know, for next three, next two, next yeah. two.
He won. He won the next. Paolo would win game one every time.
Yeah,
and then the in match two, game two and three, Marcio just he had nut draws. He played it perfectly. Paolo didn't get things he needed to get,
and he wasn't playing for mistakes that he made.
Yeah, and then there were some mana issues too, and we're definitely going to talk about that later.
Yeah.
But the mana screw was in full effect.
The final game. Oh my god!
And everybody's saying the same thing. I kind of agree with what everybody's saying. You can go ahead and recap it first. Like, well, you know,
it was game three.
It's game three of game three of match five. They had managed to go to five matches now.
Yeah, it was a five or four.
They had to go to five. He had to win five. He had to win. Michelle had to win three out. He won two.
Yeah, and PB had only
had it was game four. You're right. Yeah.
Four. Yeah, this was match four, game three.
Right.
And Paolo's hand was decent. Had some good interaction, had some counter spells, I think. Marcio, oh my god.
He made one mistake.
He had two islands. It was island, Castle Vantress. He had Teferi. He had another white card. I think it might have been Elspeth Conquers Death, and he had three red cards. So that was two islands, two white cards, three red cards, and he keeps.
Yeah.
Now, normally that would just be a greedy keep. You know, you draw a land off the top and a white source or a red source, and you're kind of in business. You can sort of start casting some spells. The problem is, I felt as soon as he kept the hand, I'm like, oh no. He kept Commander on Arena. He's doomed. Because
sure enough,
not to, you know, we bash on the shuffler, we bash on Arena about this all the time. It just, for me, it feels like you keep a two lander on the best of three, you're never seeing another land. And then sure enough, four draws in a row, Cavalier, 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 Cavalier.
Yeah.
See any lands. And
Cavalier, Cavalier, and I think he got another fire.
It was four. he drew fires.
He drew four in a row, Cavalier.
Two Cavaliers of Flame, two Cavaliers of Gales. Never saw the third land until it was so late. I mean, Paolo was just sitting on counterspells for days. He had Teferi out. It was over. It was so one-sided. I felt so bad. But he got ripped apart a little bit on Reddit and Twitter for keeping that hand. I mean, it was greedy. It was very greedy to keep that, especially since the deck mulliganed so well. But
I don't think it was that, though. I truly believe what happened was I think he made a simple error because I think the man was – think about it. He has played 3 days worth of Magic straight. Mm-hmm. Now here you are, and you've got to shoot the moon. You have to win three matches of four. You know, basically, you have to win out.
Yeah.
And he didn't. And so – but then he gets back, and he gets to the point where we're in the last match of the last game he could possibly play to win it all. And I think he just got fatigued.
That definitely wasn't a misclick, though. I mean, he thought about that for a while.
Yeah, it wasn't a misclick. I think he was fatigued. I think he made a bad choice based upon fatigue. Yeah,
he played that big time. I mean, I feel real bad for him because it's the second time in the last 3 years he's come in second place at Worlds. So he's, you know, always the bridesmaids, never the bride.
Yeah, but next year he'll be the Cinderella story. You watch.
I mean, he's one of the greatest players in the world. Nothing against him. He played a great tournament. But I mean, you know, Paolo Vito Dama de Rosa. He got the last trophy he needed. He's got everything now.
He needed that win. I mean, he's a Hall of Famer too, right?
And I believe he is a Hall of Famer. It took him 18 years to get this.
Yeah. So I love that deck. I hate to say it, it's made me into a dirty, rotten control player. I do have it in paper. I have it in Arena. I'm playing in Arena because I got to learn how to play the damn deck.
That's right. Let the hate flow through you.
Asshole. In fact, I took my wife's deck apart to use it.
Wow.
Well, she doesn't want to play anymore because I lose against you, so I don't want to play anymore. She can't hear because she has headphones. She's like, I don't want to play anymore because I lose. And I'm like, well, that's how you get better. But but she had like my Fort Teferis in there. She had my Hallowed Fountains. She had my like Mystical Disputes, my Masks. I was like, I have to take those back, honey.
Deck is something else. That deck is very resilient.
It's a lot of fun to play. And I mean, PVDDR winning it all was not surprising. I was sad to see Gabriel Nassif go down because he was the one I chose and he did really well. I think he came in third. So,
third or fourth, something like that.
Yeah. So it was sad to see him go down. I mean, I knew he was going to go down though, because he was playing.
He was playing fire.
Yeah, he was also playing fire, and I think this is. One moment, we're going to pause the show here while I look at my wife longingly about why she's making noise in my studio. Are you done? Oh, she's red-faced. Sorry, folks. If you're married, just laugh at that. All right. Sorry about that. So yes, PBDDR.
Yeah. So he's got a Pro Tour win. He's got a Mythic Championship win. I think he's got multiple Grand Prix wins, and now he's got a World Championship.
She threw a card at me.
Oh, that is a dragon token, so
yeah,
she's dead. Very upset.
Yes, I think PVDDR is. I think you can make the case that he is probably one of, if not the greatest of all time.
Oh, I don't know. I still think Kai is up there.
Kai is up there,
Kai's still the best because he had that ridiculous run where he was top eight every single time, and he won like six of the stupid things.
I think PVDDR is better. This is what I think they should do. It's okay, because I don't know about you, but I watch Survivor. Okay, and this season they're doing a champion season. Like they brought back 20 winners. We need that. Like, how has there not been a tournament of world's champions? Like, you bring in, I don't know, 16 of the world champions, probably. I think you can fill 16.
Wasn't there one of the invitationals that was like that?
I have no idea, but I've never heard of it, but I think they should do one now. Like, this would answer the question, greatest of all time. And, you know, now don't get me wrong. Did what's his name from last year who got banned? Did he win a Worlds?
Oh, Yukihiro?
Yeah. I don't think Hiro's won one.
I don't think he won a World Championship. He was in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah. So, I mean, I'm saying just get the World Champion winners. So you got Dominguez and PVDDR and all these other guys. Bring them in, sit them down. The problem is, I think those guys would all be like, "Why? I don't want to play standard."
you'd have to make like some sort of wacky format just for them.
Yeah,
I wouldn't mind seeing something like that. Make a new format just for them, or make them play some other. I mean, I don't know, play vintage.
Vintage, nice.
Game that will turn me over in about 3 minutes. So,
yeah, it'll be a very short pod. It'll be a short feed, Twitch feed. But I think that would be something I'd like to see one of these days. But, you know, it was a great – as far as world championships go, I think it was pretty good. I mean, the
overall,
issue
with
Arena notwithstanding.
Yeah, overall, fine.
And there were issues with Arena. Let's be honest. There were tons of issues with Arena. Notwithstanding, I think it was a successful event. I'm glad they did it. I'm not so sure about Arena, but I think – I think it's here to stay.
Oh, it absolutely is here to stay.
I think they're going to be doing arena for everything here going forward. Which, okay. Yeah. But I mean, I want to pivot off of that. I think unless there's anything else you want to talk about with Worlds, but.
I don't think so. I think we covered everything that we wanted to talk about with that.
Yeah. So Worlds was really worthwhile. If you haven't seen it, it is still up on Twitch. You can totally catch replays. And if nothing else, it's a great way to see how the cards are being played by the best in the game.
Yeah.
So I highly recommend that, but let's pivot off of that. I do want to talk about another announcement that came out this week during Worlds was they announced the Challenger decks.
Yes.
So if you guys are unfamiliar, this is really kind of great. I hope my Clemont guys are listening. The Challenger decks are something they started 2 years ago again. They're designed to be an entry point for jumping into standard Friday night Magic events. They're meant to be somewhat competitive. Now, these are not the tier one, they have all the pieces you need. These are great starter decks that should be able to hang at most Friday night events. And they can, I've seen it happen.
Yeah, they have a lot of the pieces for depending on the deck.
Yeah. So these will be available April 3rd. So last year, they had they had a mono red, they had the, Sultai Midrange, they had a whole bunch of stuff. I mean, they're not going to throw play sets of Hydroid Crises or anything in here, but I mean, what they did put together this year was kind of good. It's mainly based off of the standard of Throne of Eldraine and back. Mm-hmm. So it doesn't have a lot of Theros cards, if any. And so they came out with the four decks that archetypes that they chose, were basically Jeskai Fires, Golgari Adventures, Mono Red Cavalcade, and Simic Flash.
Yeah.
So, I'm going to go ahead and actually, I'm just going to put these right up on the screen here because I can do that. I have the power. So,
I mean, I really like the way that they did this because there's some, they put valuable cards in this. I mean, Fabled Passage is in there, Brazen Borrower.
Yeah, they did do that a little better this year than they did in previous years. I mean, it's still only one ofs.
Well, there's two Midnight Riders Murderous Riders in the adventure deck. Four Lovestruck Beast.
Right. Well, if you take a look at the screen, I mean, first things first is we have Jeskai Fires up, and here's kind of the deck list. And this is straight from magics.wizards.com. So what they did was they're really kind of focusing on this Jeskai Fires with the Planeswalkers. They're not throwing in a ton of the sorcery instant type stuff. It's mainly Planeswalkers. So, and again, no side, they do have a sideboard, sorry. But you're getting three Sarkhan the Masterless, one Ugin, one Kazmina, or three Kazmina, four Narsets, which right there, if you want to play Pioneer or Modern, those are worth the price of admission. And then two Saheeli, okay. Then creatures, Kenrith, he will not rotate. Fae of Wishes, those two will not rotate. And then Deafening Clarions, Drawn from Dreams, and Time Wipes with Fires of Invention, Banishing Light, and Omens of the Sea. They are giving you a Steam Vents. So that too. Steam Vents will be rotating in September, but
yeah,
they're also giving you
a bunch of temples in there.
Yeah, they're giving you three temples, the Epiphany, Triumph, and Enlightenment. So this is a pretty good value deck. And then in the sideboard, by the way, Sarkhan, Mass Manipulation, Devout Decree, Dovin's Veto, Revoke Existence.
It's a bunch of there's a bunch of rares and mythics in every deck, which I think is really great.
So it's pretty good. This one was okay. Like again, it's not going to be complete, but it is pretty. Your sideboard's meant to in this deck, your sideboard because of the Fae of Wishes, your sideboard's meant to be another resource, really.
Yeah.
The Golgari Adventure, it's called Final Adventure. They're giving you
this deck is basically the deck.
Yeah, this is really the deck. It's one Vraska Golgari Queen, four Innkeeper's playset, two Black Lace Paragons, two Knight of the Ebon Legion, four Lovestrucks, two Midnight Reapers, two Murderous Riders, four Foulmire Knights, four Orders of Midnight, and four Smitten Swordmasters with a Fine Finality and two Disfigures, and then four Lucky Clovers. This is that deck. It doesn't have the Shocklands, but it does have a Fabled Passage. So this is a pretty good deck. It's a pretty really okay.
great starting point for that deck, because that deck too is, if you're going to FNM, it is one of those decks that has the potential just to flat out win an FNM, because it has a lot of power and a lot of consistency.
Absolutely. The mono red cavalcade is, you know, three Chandras of Acolyte. They are giving you an Ember Cleave. That's the big draw in that deck. Love that card. Four Calves of Calamity, and then four Giants, four Champions, four Steams, four Torb, four Rim, four Scorch, and three Tin Streets. And then the four light up the stages.
The creatures, that's 16 rares.
Yeah. So the value in here is pretty good. In their sideboard, it's Experimental Frenzies, Shock, Tibalt, Satyr's Cunning, and Slaying Fire. Then finally, the Simic Flash deck. This is very much close to the real deck. It's not running a playset of Brazens. It only has one Brazen Borrower, but it has one Brazen Borrower, folks. It also has four Night Packs, one Wave Break Hippocamp, four Wildborns, four Brineborn, four Frilled, and four Spectral Sailors, two Thassa's Interventions, four Ops, Quench, two Sinister Sabs, and two Unsummons. No, the problem with this deck is, again, no Shocklands. So
yeah,
that's going to happen.
That's fine. That's fine. I mean, the Simic Flash deck, I think, is the one that's going to hurt the most from rotation.
Yeah, Simic Flash is not. Well, yes and no. I don't think Simic Flash is a Simic Flash isn't really. It's there, but it's not really a deck anymore.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's going to lose Nightpack Ambusher. It's going to lose Brineborn Cutthroat. It's going to lose Frilled Mystic. It's going to lose Spectral Sailor. It's going to lose Sinister Sabotage. It's going to lose Quench.
There are other cards to play in that, though.
Yeah, but
not. And it's going to lose the Nightpack. The Nightpack's a huge
one. That's what I said. Yeah, it loses the Nightpack. That's like your big trump card.
That really is. So, I mean, if you're looking for a deck that's going to survive rotation, this year they kind of didn't give you one that's. I think the closest would be Adventure.
Yeah, the Adventure one's going to really survive pretty well. But if you know, these are great starting points to hold you over until rotation in the fall.
Right.
You're going to get a good, like, what, 5-6 months out of these decks before they rotate out.
Absolutely. So I highly recommend them. They're worthwhile. You know, I think if I'm saying for me, I mean, I have all of these decks, really. If I was going to buy anyone right now, I would probably buy the Cavalcade to get another copy of Embercleave, even though I have four. So maybe, you know, I don't even know that I'd buy that. I'd probably buy the Golgari Adventure deck or the Jeskai Fires. They just have, you know, you can always use another Steam Vent, if nothing else. So there is that. But, I mean, anything else you want to talk about with the Challengers? Or
Not with the Challengers. I know something else that they announced during Worlds was yet another Secret Lair.
Yeah.
So this one was the Theros gods, the original Theros gods, all 15 of them, in the special constellation frame that was the special frame for the Theros Beyond Death gods.
Right.
You know, they're beautiful. They look great. But again, I think it's something that's like, all right, these are cool. But for me, it's not something I'm interested in buying. And they were only available for like up until yesterday, I believe, or maybe even today. And so, you know. Your opportunities pass unless you want to buy them on the secondary market. But I don't know. They seem to be pumping these out with a fairly regular occurrence. So I'm wondering what the next one's going to be. I am curious to see if it's something I'll be interested in buying. But up until this point, I really only have had like maybe a passing interest in a couple of them.
Yeah, I'm kind of the same way. I'm not really there.
Yeah.
I mean, it's nice, but I guess for me, I just... You know, oh gosh, sorry about that. For me, I just don't need it. You know, I don't need to spend the money. There are other places to spend my money, and it's not really getting me anything. So I'm not there for that. But, you know, the people that are, that's great. I think you should be. I mean, go to town. You know, this isn't like other things we will discuss shortly where I'm like, dear God, stop spending your money on this, please. But, you know, yeah, that was another big announcement this week. But I think what we should do is get into combat and talk a little bit about Arena.
Combat phase.
Okay, welcome to combat phase. Okay, what do we got tonight? Is this is kind of a holdover from last week. A few weeks ago, Arena sent out the state of the game email, and it was chock full of goodness. Not quite. I don't want to be negative, but I'm going to be a little bit critical here. And I talked about that on my podcast this week too, negative versus critical. And I think there's room to be negative. But my question for combat is, do we think that Wizards slash Hasbro's greed is going to cause Arena to fold? Because it just seems that they keep subtracting value from it, like for the players. And I'm going to let you take a shot at this, Aramis.
You want me to go first on this one? Okay.
I can go first if you want.
Well, I'm curious to see what you think.
I don't think it can fold. I think it's too big to fail. I mean, it could go Planeswalker, you know, Duels of the Planeswalkers, I guess. It's possible. But the problem is, I think Wizards Hasbro is doing just enough to not appear to be greedy. But at this point, it's getting harder and harder to argue against the corporate mindset and the corporate greed that is going on. You know, the things that they've done as far as just charging for Nyx lands, for basic lands, and charging what they did, you know, making you pay for each of the god events they had a few weeks ago. And, you know, all of these,
Those haven't happened yet. Those are happening later.
The god events? Yeah. Sorry. Well, no, the thing they had a few weeks, they had something last week where all you could get was a style. You know, it was some, and it wasn't a god event, but it was some other event. It was like a Momir, but not quite. I forget what it was.
Standard showcase or something.
Yeah, the standard showcase, which all you get is a style.
Yeah, skip that.
You know, it's like they just keep finding new and interesting ways to screw with their product, and it's becoming frustrating for me. You know, the biggest one, and again, I mean, this is all stuff we'll talk about in the next, you know, in Remain 2, but, you know, ranked draft not just going to the latest set anymore. Like, basically, somebody must have told them that this was how people were filling out their collections, was they're going to play a ranked draft of Theros, and they would be able to get, you know, 6 packs of 15, where before they just had to buy, you can only buy the 8 packs, and, you know, this was, doing draft was a way to fill your collection. And not just draft. And it's like Wizards was like, well, screw that. You know, it's one thing after another. I think if they keep this up, I think eventually people are just going to be like, you know, I don't want to play standard. You know, I want to play other things. I don't want to always have to play standard. I don't want to have to pay if I want to play something other than standard. I don't want to have to pay if I want to have the style of cards that I have in my case that come with every single solitary pack of Theros. You know, I shouldn't have to pay for that. Like, I think they're going to nickel and dime people to the point where they're like, well, I'm just going to play MTGO where I can play everything I want. And I kind of can get value for the cards. You know, I don't know. What do you think?
I kind of agree with you in the sense that it's not going to fail.
Yeah.
They are definitely being greedy. And it's, I don't think they're even trying to hide it. I was disappointed that they had decided to charge for the Nyx lands. I was disappointed in that. Did I get them? Yes.
So did I, because we're stupid.
You know, immediately. I had a bunch of gold to spare. So, you know, it's like I could buy these and I'm still fine to enter a bunch of drafts, whatever. It's not going to hurt me as far as being able to play the game. I know that not everybody is in that kind of a position. You know, they might be, you know, broke on gold or broke on gems and have to grind for a while in order to get the money to get those lands. The way that I justified it was that, you know, yes, these lands are gorgeous. They're my favorite lands now. And when I play in paper, I'm going to make sure I use only those lands.
Right.
But you don't need them to play.
Right.
You know, you can use any land. And they have, like, you know, a bajillion other land styles on there. You can play with Mirage lands if you wanted, or Zendikar lands, or Hour of Devastation lands. In the end, they all tap for the same mana. So in that regard, it's simply a cosmetic thing. You know, I want my deck to have this sort of a look to it. And I'm okay with that. I would have rather they didn't charge 3,000 gold per.
Right.
I know we're going to talk about that later. And the other changes that they've made that you mentioned, it feels like they are putting up more paywalls. And I can definitely see where people are going to get frustrated and possibly quit. I know that myself personally. I'm not playing as much now because this is when I would be drafting nonstop. And right. I like doing best of one drafts because it's quicker. You know, you can get your matches in, you can get some gems back and you're good. Whereas now, if you want to play Theros draft, you have to play the best of three, which, okay, you have a chance to get a lot more gems if you do well, but you can also flame out and not get any gems. Whereas right. at least with regular best of one Theros draft, you at least got a couple of gems back. So, yeah.
And I think too, I mean, them putting it back to, I think they put it to Guilds or Ravnica this week, Guilds or Ravnica, which is a terrible draft set.
No, it's a great draft set.
I didn't like, it was boring. I'm sorry. Compared to what the draft sets we've had with Theros.
To me, it doesn't matter if it was good or bad. It's the fact that it's old.
Yeah. You already have all the cards.
Yeah, I already drafted Guilds of Ravnica. I don't want to draft Guilds of Ravnica again. I want to draft Theros. So, you know, I want to draft the cards I want to win. You know, whatever. But
So why can't they do what MTGO does? Why in the hell can't they just leave it all up? And anyone who wants to draft in Guilds of Ravnica, maybe make that drafting for free and make it Phantom.
They're not going to make it Phantom. I mean, that would be cool. I wouldn't mind doing it if it was Phantom. That would also open the door to being able to open up older sets to be drafted. Right. But I think it's because they know and they realize that if we have people constantly drafting Theros, eventually they're going to stop drafting Theros altogether and they're just not going to draft. And they're not going to spend their money. And they're just going to do this. Right. So,
well, because a lot of people, you draft to draft, don't get me wrong.
Yeah.
A lot of people draft to collect. Well, are a lot of people that just draft and then resign. You know,
that's stupid. Because you're going to get, even if you owe three, you're still going to get some, you're going to get a pack. You're going to get some gems. You might as well play. Maybe you get a win.
They get the 0-3 pack and gems anyway.
But even if you only win one game, that's already doubling the
amount. I'm not saying that that's what I do. I'm just saying that's what happens.
I think they're wasting them. I mean, maybe they're saving some time, but they're wasting their gems. But what you do with your gems is your business, and that's fine. I feel like they are putting things behind more paywalls. I do think it's rather stupid. I think it's if they're going to keep going with Arena, they have to start expanding the number of formats or turn it into some sort of a Arena MTGO hybrid where you're either still able to trade your cards, get some value from them.
Or dust them would be nice.
There's got to be a way where if you have a bunch of cards you don't want, you can get rid of them and get something for them. Whereas right now you have what you have. And you know, once you get more than four copies, okay, you get a little bit of progress towards your vault, but I mean, I haven't opened my vault in forever.
Yeah. I open my vault when it gets above 200. So I can always keep the treasure. So I can always keep it on the screen. But that's me because I'm still, because I don't draft as much as you, I have to do, ICRs. I have to do ICRs, spend gold, and get packs. Yeah. You know, that's what I do. And I have to get the wild cards. And that's okay. Mm-hmm. You know, I play it a different way. But, I do think that their greed, if they're not careful, could cause Arena. People already are kind of like, I don't want to play Arena if I don't. You know, if we saw it during Throne of Eldraine, like when Standard was bad. I mean, we were waiting for you were queued for I queued for a minute and a half once for a best of three. Like nobody was playing Standard.
Yeah,
they were like, I don't want to play Standard. You know, and then they bring Brawl out and they're like, oh, you can play Brawl on Wednesdays, you know, and what they're doing in Brawl with the freaking paywall for Brawl. Like, I refuse to pay that.
You're doing it now. Don't do it again.
Yeah, they're doing it now. They're going to keep doing it. And I refuse to pay for it. I'm like, I am not going to pay to play a version of a game I like just because, I'm not rewarding your bad behavior. And it means I don't get to play Brawl. Okay.
Once you have the cards, once you quote unquote own the cards, you shouldn't have to pay a fee to play the cards.
Right. And that's what they're doing. And it's really annoying. I mean, they should just make Brawl and be like, there's no prize support. Just, wins count towards your progress.
Make it so the prize support is only on Wednesdays. Okay.
Right. I'm good with that. Yeah. Fine. But some days you just are like, I've played enough Azorius Control and I played enough Mono Red. And that's pretty much the two decks I kind of play around with. And then I got my new janky deck with Thassa because she's fun. But, that's about it. it's become that point where we need to do something. They need to do something, or, you know, I don't play that much, but that's because I'm busy too. Like, I've got so much going on that Arena is not like where I want to play.
I'm having a hard time understanding that first thing you said about playing too much Azorius Control. That's not.
You know what? Sometimes I just feel dirty and like I need a shower if I play blue white control too much. Well, so
blue color of water. It keeps you clean.
It doesn't keep me clean. There's no rubbing off the dirt that comes from playing control, my friend. So yeah, don't try to make me into your dirty, rotten control player.
It's a slippery slope.
All right. So I think combat was kind of non-combat today, but that's okay. It's actually going to bring us right into main two, and let's get into that.
Main phase.
Okay, so in our second main phase, this is where we kind of talk about Arena and things going on. And we really, really want to talk about the state of the game email that came out a week and a half ago. This is a dumpster fire. There's no way around it. I don't want to be negative for negative sake, but it always amazes me with this set, or with their state of the game, sometimes when they're giving you something bad and they try to present it as something good. Where they'll say things like, hey, we want, you know, Brawl. We see that some people enjoy playing Brawl, so we thought we'd give you prize support. So for that prize support, you have to pay 10,000 gold to play it for one card that you can get with a wild card.
Yeah, and you know, you would get it after the first game anyway. So,
and then never anything else after. So here's the thing. They're you know, state of the game, they talked about drafting in direct challenge, sort of. So explain how this works, Aramis.
So what they did, and I think they had to do this because of Worlds, and they decided just to keep it, or maybe this was something they were working on regardless. But now, once you draft a deck, you have the ability to save that deck as part of your regular, you know, deck collection. And myself personally, I think this was a great thing for them to do, because there have been plenty of times where what me and Will would do, every time a set would come out, we'd go to the local game store or Walmart or whatever, we'd grab six packs, and we'd do sealed against each other. And that's not something you can do in Arena up until now. So now, if there's a sealed event, like the pre-release or the release event for Theros or you know, say Ikoria, if we do the event for sealed, we can save that deck and then challenge each other in the limited format to play the decks that we opened or drafted or what have you. I think that's a big positive.
I don't disagree. It's definitely, that was the upside. Do I wish that I could draft just against you and like find four other guys that we know and do our own pod? Yeah, but I'll take this, you know, and we probably will. That might be a stream event we do with Ikoria, is we, you know, we sign up for a sealed event. We draft, you know, on camera, both of us, or do our sealed event on camera so that, you know, mm-hmm. we can't be like, hey, I can't believe I got three of that planeswalker. What are the odds? Jeepers. You know, but I really do like that. I think that that's worthwhile. So that was like the upside. And they opened with that, which is great, because they're kind of like, look at this. This is something we're giving you. How great is this? Oh, by the way, we're going to offer you the Nyx lands. Isn't that exciting? Yes. For 3,000 gold each.
That was a little pricey. I wouldn't
have 15,000 gold.
If they had done 1,500, might have still been too much, but somewhere in that range, or even 1,000. Great.
Again, why? Yeah. You know what? Why didn't they do what they did before? Give us the event where we could win them.
Yeah. I mean, like, and having to pay, if you had to pay like 5,000 gold for the event, at least you're playing Magic.
Right. And that I can get behind.
Yeah.
5,000 gold for the whole event, by the way, not each event. Yeah. But this is an example of Wizards, and I'm going to go off. Okay. I might go away from critical into full blown negative on this one. And I'm sorry. If you listened to our Patreon cast last week, you can shoot me later. But oh my God. Like, this here is just such a prime example of corporate greed beyond anything out there. To pay 15,000 or 15, yeah, 15,000 gold, which has absolutely no value anywhere else. It's not like I paid into it. I get that, but I did it by winning events, doing things, and I was saving it for things that I need. Like if I need to buy packs and need to do six so I can get a wild card, you know, that's kind of what my goal is. It lets me buy packs. To have you guys sit there and make me spend 15,000 of it because you feel I have too much, which is the only reason you would do this, is that they're like, well, we've taken a look and seen, and most people have at least 45,000 to 50,000 gold banked, and we should get them to get some of that down because it's going to impact our economy. That's what they're thinking. Yeah. It's ridiculous. It's awful.
Yeah, and the thing that I don't understand is that, you know, 15,000 gold, that's three drafts.
Yeah.
It's three drafts, and, you know, you can get a lot of value out of three drafts. And also, too, every time they've updated a set, they've just added the lands.
Yeah.
Added the lands. And
these lands are in every single paper pack.
The interesting thing is that they added the lands that don't normally show up in booster packs.
Right.
They just added the underworld, the chained lands.
Yeah.
So which is like, okay, fine. You know, those are nice. And these ones are gorgeous.
Right. And I get it. It's Pokemon lands, whatever. And again, I was ragging on them before release and picking on them, but they look nice and they're nice to have, you know, and it's Wizards freaking greed. And you know what? I hated myself for getting them.
I did.
Like, I almost didn't get them because I was like, I don't want to reward this bad behavior, because that's what's happening. Because they also talked about the damn Brawlidays event, and they used that as an example of, you know, using it for the Guild Hall event, which is a ridiculous, nothing more than a money grab piece of crap thing to do. And it irks me, you know, and I'm sure now we're never going to be sponsored by Wizards, but I can live with that.
I think if they had done this, you know, differently, I think if they were still going to charge, if it was like 1,000, like I said, 1,000 or 1,500 each, that's a little more palatable. 3,000 each is a lot. I mean, I had plenty of gold to spare. So, but
they're still. Like, and I'm sure they'd be like, well, you didn't need to buy all five. If you're not playing any decks with black, why would you buy the black land? Cause someday I may want to play black land, you assholes. Like, oh, it's annoying. And you know what? Just for all that, I will say this. The one nice thing they do is that if you buy these lands, it defaults. If I build a new deck, the mountains that go into that set, into that deck, it does default to the next lands. I'm in that. Yes, because there's nothing more annoying when I want all the large, you know, off the ones, the Zendikar lands, or were they HOD? I forget. But when we won the Howers of Devastation or whatever the lands were, the full screen lands before, you have to go in and manually change them. And then if you're building a new deck, you have to manually choose that and then remove the lands that they add. I liked it if I click add lands, it defaults to the next lands. But I would have liked it if they changed it for all of my decks. Like, it's still annoying. So,
yeah, absolutely.
You know, it's if you're going to do – so I will give you that, okay? All right, you could have charged me 1,500 and then 1,500 for defaulting from now on. So, oh. You're waving at the at that. There's your wife waving at you. My wife can wave at me all the time. She's over here.
Oh no, she can throw things at you because she's right there.
She threw a card at me earlier, which I'm lucky it wasn't a bowl, and I'm lucky she stopped slurping her grapefruit. So
Yeah, it's just I think they overcharged. I do think that. If they were going to charge, I think they should have lowered the price somewhat or made it. You know, they call it a bundle, but it's a single card. If they bundled all five together for 10,000,
I'm okay with that. Yeah.
Whatever. Fine. You got me.
So I just, this whole thing. And then they talk about the 2,500, they talk about the God event. They're like, it'll cost you 2,500 for each event. Really? That's great.
And you get card styles.
Yeah. That's all you get. Card styles. Not cards, card styles.
At least that's for the first one. I don't know what the...
No, I think it's card styles all the way through.
It probably will be all the way through.
Let's face it. What is the mastery pass if not card styles?
Yeah, but then these are ones that aren't in the mastery pass.
Well, of course not, because we knew we would want to rape you a little more. I'm sorry. I hate to be negative, and I know I sound it, but
the art styles thing is a legit gripe because it's essentially foils, and foils show up in regular packs.
Yeah.
You know, there's no way to get a non-styled card in a booster pack unless you pay for the card style, which, yes, okay, it applies to all the cards you own of that name, regardless of what set it came out of. Fine. But I don't know.
Yeah. And I get the card style things is a way for them to make money. And I'm for that. Like, because it's not necessary to play the game.
Right.
You know, I don't need to get a card style to do well at the game. I do need to get wild cards. You know, I do need to get gold and gems. And, you know, if you're a free to play player, you need these gold and gems to be able to compete. And the fact is that they're just screwing it even more, you know. And then the biggest upset at all, we just kind of talked about it in combat, but moving ranked draft from just being the latest set is, to me, the greatest insult they could have done. Like I said, a lot of people, and I know you're not one of them, Aramis, but a lot of people use the ranked draft to fill their set.
Yeah, no, and that's legit.
You know, and it's a good way to do it. And, you know, what they're basically doing here is saying people are getting, you know, they're completing their sets far too quickly. They're completing their sets before, you know, blah, blah, blah. And that means that they don't spend anything, which means they have more money to spend, which is what it is. Because what happens is people fill their sets like right around now or a couple of weeks from now. And so when, you know, when the next set's ready to come out, they'll have banked a ton of gold and a ton of gems and be able to just get the next set and do the same thing again. And that's not good for Wizards, because Wizards wants you to, you know, spend money on their stuff. So
here's the thing. I'm okay with them revisiting past drafts for ranked. Why can't you have multiple available at the same time? People will play.
Exactly.
Okay, sure. They're going to obviously prefer the newest set. I would prefer the newest set. I do prefer the newest set. I want to play more Theros. But, you know, maybe there's a certain day we're like, you know what? Arabtica Allegiance was a fun draft format. Let me go see if I can get a nice Hydroid Krasis Simic deck going again or not.
Yeah.
Okay,
I'm okay with that.
And that's fine. But to take it away for 2 weeks, it basically makes it so like, all right, I figured out the format. If I'm not playing in paper or an MTGO, my skills will get rusty in 2 weeks. I'll be like, oh, crap. Okay, what were the synergies again?
Right. It's really just crap.
Yeah, that was I feel like that was a mistake.
It wasn't a mistake for them. From their balance sheet, it was not a mistake. Well, yeah. The balance sheet is their goal is to make sure we spend as much money as possible in Arena. And if we get to fill our decks or fill our sets, then we're not going to spend money. This is what they think. They don't, which is funny because that what they're basically saying is they don't believe in their own product. They believe in the addiction almost, which is really sad. Like, it seems like they almost believe in the addiction of people are going to keep only play this game until they get their full collection. And then they're going to say, screw this, I'm out. And that's not the case. But it's sad. It saddens me a little bit. They had a game design AMAA. I read through some of it. It was corporate fun. Some of the information that came out of there, they are still looking at Guildhall, which is why I'm going to mention to you all now, for God's sake, stop paying for the Brawl events. Like, they're admitting that they're hearing what we're saying, but they're also looking at the balance sheet and saying people are still signing up for this system. So as long as we're signing up for the system, they're not going to stop it. So for frack's sake, stop signing up for the Brawl event.
Yeah, there's no reason to have to pay for Brawl.
Like, I think somebody put a website out there where you could find people that want direct challenges for Brawl. Do that. Mm-hmm. Like, amen. I got to find that site because I would do it. Like, you know, we did it today. We had a great fun. We streamed it a little bit. We played Brawl today and it was fun. You know, it's nice to kind of, you know, cleanse the palate of Standard a little bit.
Yeah. I mean, I'm really hoping that the 8-person drafts are sooner rather than later. I'm really hoping that the throwback sets for Pioneer are sooner rather than later.
I think the 8-person drafts won't happen until Core. I'm going to put that out there now. That seems like a Core thing.
I would be okay with that.
Yeah, me too. I think it's 6 months. I think they'll do it for core set.
Yeah, I'm okay with waiting 6 more months if that's when it pops out.
It seems like that's a core set tech. I think the rest of what you're talking about is going to be rotation.
Yeah, maybe.
I think Pioneer, because, well, here's the deal. They may want to do Pioneer if, Lord willing, we get fetch lands.
Well, they would ban them immediately. So
I don't know that they'd ban. I think they'd unban the other fetch lands if they printed.
They ban them because they don't want them to be in Pioneer.
Well, they said that because it would just be those. It was, what is it, the Allied front, Allied, or was it the Allied or the enemy fetch?
Five Allied ones that are available now in Pioneer. They're printed in Pioneer legal right. set. The other five would be the enemy colored ones, but the problem is that they would be, I think their biggest problem, they keep saying it's the shuffling. I don't think it's the shuffling so much as fetches with shocks. Oof. And if they printed the other five fetch lands and unbanned the first five, you would have fetches and shocks in Pioneer, which is what they don't want.
Well, I don't see why not. Pioneer, then in the modern,
then well, it becomes too perfect.
It becomes modern.
Yeah, it's mana is too perfect. You can play all five colors with zero penalty, and you know it'll
be interesting. But I could see that they might be able to do Pioneer some of the Pioneer set when they do Zendikar.
Maybe, yeah.
You know, so I'm hopeful. But you know, and the only other thing I wanted to talk about before we get going tonight is that last Wednesday we did do Ian's deck. He's our Planeswalker level, but he won for the mana event. Sign up as a mana patron. But we took his deck list. We tore it apart. We played it for a little bit. It was, Ian kind of thought it was hot garbage. It wasn't hot garbage. It was missing pieces, you know, and Aramis went through and built it, and it was a better deck. So that deck list will show up on our Facebook, or is it going to go on Twitter?
I'll tweet it out.
Okay, so Aramis is going to put it on Twitter, but the new deck list, and he's going to obviously send it to Ian. But if you guys want to see us play a deck list that you send us, sign up for our Patreon at the $3 a month level. We hold a drawing with you and the Planeswalkers, where the Planeswalker level, where we pick one name, and next month we'll tear that deck apart. We did just get a Facebook message about a deck list. We did see it, and it was from one of our new guys, actually. Let me see here. I just want to address him by name. Canyon, we're not going to do that tonight. We're actually getting a little slow on time, so we're going to push that to next week. Plus, we really want to take a look at the list and give you the best advice. So we will be doing that next week. But I think it's time for us to start thinking about end-stepping. End-step. Okay, so as we start picking up our cards and putting them in the cases, rolling up our play mats, you know, putting everything away, grabbing the pizza boxes and putting them by the trash, because damn it, your mother still does not work at this game store. We want to remind you guys that both Aramis and I stream Arena on the Planeswalkers Podcast channel on Twitch. Look up Planeswalkers Podcast. You can also follow me on Twitch at MindCrime73, and we did some just today.
We did. It was fun.
It was fun.
So we're hoping to do that more often.
Yes.
If it ends up where it's me that's hosting the stream, you can follow me on Twitch at RMechWRX. Anytime either one of us stream, it always goes up on the Planeswalkers Podcast channel at the same time. So you can catch us at any one of our three locations. Sounds like a chain. anyway, if Twitter is more your speed to get in touch with us, you can find our show at Planeswalkerpod on Twitter.
And my personal Twitter is at WR Benson. Now, listen, guys, I don't tweet there very much. To tell you the truth, I'm really on it just to look up and follow as much information about Jar Jar Binks as I can, because I think he's an amazing character. But of course, you can always follow us on Facebook. Just go to facebook.com/planestalker. That's actually where this feed goes up every Monday when we record. And you can like and follow our page there.
Misa, no understand. Finally, though, on that rather odd note, you can send us emails and even ask for advice in our Ask Aramis section, where I can offer you tips on anything from deck construction to limited choices. And if you also want to send us an email just to see how the show's going or send in a deck list like Kenyon did, our address is podcast@planestalkerspodcast.com.
Okay, and finally, we want to say thank you to all of you guys listening. We do offer... we have our, we're in the middle of a contest right now. We got two more weeks of it with iTunes reviews. You guys can leave one right in iTunes for us. And what we do is we pick one of the reviews and we basically give you a arena code for some packs. So we do that drawing every month. So if you want to get into that drawing and you've not won yet, you're still in the drawing. But if you haven't won yet, you're still in. And if you want to get in on it, just go to iTunes, leave us a review. Doesn't have to, any number of stars is fine. If it's a negative, though, please let us know before you do it, because really we want the five stars to kind of help get more eyes on the show. But we're really, really excited about that. We'll be drawing for that in 2 weeks. But on that note, Aramis and I can start getting ourselves out of here. We want to thank you guys again for being just wonderful listeners and for enjoying our show tonight. We thank you very much for listening. We will be back next Monday recording right around the 7 o'clock hour. So tune in on the Facebook page there, or you can just listen to this in your podcast. We also have a Patreon page where we keep a bunch of different shows and stuff up there. You can find it at patreon.com/planestalkers. But for Aramis Perez, this is Will Benson saying thank you very much for listening. And remember to always keep some of your mana untapped, because you never know when you'll need it. Take care and have a great week. Thank you.